Project Independence is the Aging in Place initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. Some of the many services we offer include nursing and social work services. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence in You. I'm your host, John Ryan, and my co-host today is Jerry Perelman. And we are very fortunate to have with us Nassau County Legislator Ellen Birnbaum, who is, well, reviewing a lot of different things, but one, which is the most significant thing, is because of her not quitting, not giving up. For the last 6 years, we have the 6th precinct reopened, which happened yesterday. And as she said, the county executive was there and the commissioner was there and Ellen was there, of course, and there was a ribbon cutting. And so, again, I want to start off by congratulating you for your hard work, because if you didn't care, it wouldn't be opened.
Thank you,
John. And what a great accomplishment.
Yeah, and it was an uphill battle.
It was.
But honestly, if it was something you said, whatever, it's closed, it would still be a rotting building at this point.
Yeah, everybody at the legislature knew when I was about to speak at any meeting and we mentioned anything to do with Nassau County Police. I'm in favor of that, but what about the 6th precinct reopening? We've been waiting.
Right, see, that's cool.
That's fabulous.
That's cool.
Yes.
You started to talk at the break, the two of you, in reference to music, because I know, Jerry, you're involved.
Yes. So I loved learning about the fact that you play the flute. And it brought our meeting today home to me, because I went to music and art high school as a young tiger. And it was such a great education, and being around musicians and the artistry of the artists and so forth. So tell me about your flute playing.
Sure. Well, I actually started with the piano when I was 5 years old. I took piano lessons because I had two older brothers who were already taking piano, and I kept begging, I want to learn too. So I remember in second grade at my recital, I played Fur Elise.
Oh, my goodness.
And I still have that song committed to memory.
That's great.
If I sit down at a piano. And the spinning song. Do you know that one?
Oh, yes.
So
I'm going to go out and come back. No.
Then in elementary school, when it came time to picking an instrument, I chose flute. And I've always enjoyed playing the flute. And even when I went to college, I went to Cornell University.
Oh, great. Yes.
I was in the symphonic band. Mm. And I took flute and band every semester. And I proudly played in the concerts. And then after I began living in Great Neck, I said, I really want to get involved with some musical group. I like playing my flute, so I was with North Shore Pops for many years.
How great.
Yep. That's... And then I met Michael Flamheft, mm-hmm. who's a Great Neck mm-hmm. resident. He played the trombone with me. We commuted together, and he sat behind me. His trombone slide practically went into my back. And then he started a band, the Rotary Band, which played every summer, and I've been in that band ever since, and I believe this past summer was the 19th year.
Was it really?
Yeah. And in fact, for I think 2 summers, my son, who took up trombone, and Michael Flamheft was his teacher, he played in the band with me, so it was sort of
nice.
Fun to play with my son.
What a great insight into you.
Yeah.
Into that side of you, that part of you. It's interesting, when I first started to play, I played keyboard, which was actually the accordion in those days, and I started to do jobs. As you grow up, people would hire you, do a job, you play a little music for a party, for this and that. And as that increased and I did more and more of them, my father used to help me take my accordion and the amplifier in the car and take me to different occasions to play. And one day he said to me, why couldn't you have learned the flute? It would have been so much easier.
That's funny.
Well, that's
true,
too. So
you picked the right instrument.
Oh, thanks.
Carting the accordion around, an electrified accordion.
Electrified with the amplifiers, and then the new equipment that came in after that was even heavier and bigger. But it was the medium that I used. And actually, it was a good medium because you couldn't have a band without a keyboard.
Is that even an instrument that's around anymore?
An accordion? You know, it is. It's become more specialized. Back in the day, accordion was very valuable because at the hotels and catering halls, they did not keep the pianos tuned. So you had an accordion instead of a piano. And that was always in tune when the band came in. So accordion rose dramatically in popularity. I mean, even if you went, the only hotels, if you went to the Plaza or the Waldorf, yes, those pianos would be kept in tune. But many smaller places just didn't put in the time or the effort or the money. And as more accordion players came on the scene, it wasn't necessary. So you just knew no piano players, only accordion players can. So, but the flute, of course, is so easy to transport.
Right, but now people bring keyboards because I've asked for musical groups to come perform at different events that I've had, and usually there's a singing group and they'll bring a keyboard to accompany
and
them.
And the keyboards are phenomenal. Yeah. They sound just like pianos.
Right.
Just like pianos, it's amazing. You can even if you were living in an area with higher humidity and you don't want to have a piano because of a lot of people in Florida, but you want to have a keyboard instrument, but you'd love a piano. They have baby grands now that are electric, and they sound just like pianos.
Amazing. Wow.
And of course, there's no tuning and there's no strings to go out of tune.
Right.
Interesting.
Yeah, so amazing.
I'm going to make a shift from music, which is interesting and calming, but Project Independence, so therefore Office of the Aging.
Right.
That's another important
right.
piece
so
of Nassau
at
County.
At the county, I have
Department,
close
me.
Connection with George Martinez, who is the Deputy Commissioner of the Office of the Aging, which falls under the Office of Human Services at the county. And I've done programs with him. In fact, I don't know if you recall that over this past fall, a local Great Neck resident, Fran Spilke Epstein, she decided to start a program called Grandparent Power. And she was dealing with different issues of grandparenting. Her idea was that grandparents have so much wisdom to impart to their grandchildren, especially in this day and age of children growing up with electronic devices and always being on their phones or their tablets. And she felt that we had to promote better communication between grandparents and their children and what they could teach them in terms of just communicating verbally and their wisdom and knowledge. So she started this series, and she invited me to come and speak about the county and what we had to say about grandparents. And I came with, actually, George Martinez from Office of the Aging. So we presented a program about the county's seniors.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, that's the important thing, and I mean this sincerely about Ellen and certain, I'm not going to say every legislator because I don't know them all. I know the ones in North Hempstead. And they're accessible. You know, I mean, if I call Ellen or if I call some of the other ones and say, we have a program, would you be willing to help out?
Mm-hmm.
Ellen will. Now, you have to coordinate a date. I can't turn around and say, next Monday, Ellen, we need you at 2 o'clock, because that's rude. You wouldn't expect that from anybody. But if you're putting together a program, we're putting together a senior program, or even like a musical program, any type of thing, you say, Ellen, would you like to participate? Ellen's always agreeable. And it's a matter of, say, go to my scheduler and work it into my calendar. If it can be worked, then we work it
in. And this particular idea that Fran had, she didn't know how to go about it. So I brainstormed with her, and we decided to meet with various members of the community. We had a preliminary meeting, and through that, we decided it would be a program in conjunction with the Great Neck Parks Department.
Okay.
So they were able to offer it at Great Neck House, which is a public building with a nice parking lot, and promote it through their materials. And that's how that came about.
Now, was that a one-time deal or something going on?
It's over now, but there were a few different sessions.
Okay.
Yeah,
because I do know
with
her. I was
going to
say we could have had her on. She's a nice lady. Yeah, I mean,
she'd be a good resource, actually.
Yeah, something like that. That's the point. You look for, seniors, you have to keep them active. And it's nice to be able to reach out to a legislator. You know, and I'm not using you, Ellen. When you can turn around and say a county legislator is in attendance, it gives much more credibility to your program.
That's so true.
If I'm turning around and say, come, John Ryan's doing a program, it's fine. John Ryan with, the county legislator, it adds credibility. And that's what you want to do. Because
John Ryan is a big draw in and of itself.
Yeah, sure.
I actually just did a program last month at the library in conjunction with Breast Cancer Awareness Month, because October was.
Right.
Some good speakers from the community, because I like to work within the community, and that was at the library.
I was there a mailing for that?
Yep.
Yeah, I saw that. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing that Ellen does too, which is you know, certain programs during the course of the year, mailings come out for them.
Well,
I
that
see
one
them.
Actually was on the back page of my newsletter, so I didn't have to do a separate mailing. It was a newsletter that said all the activities that I had been doing over the last several months, and you know the legislation that had been passed by the legislature, and then on the back page I put in my upcoming events, and it was on that.
Actually, what I'm going to say about that, which is very significant also, we're talking to a lady here that is a lady and is not pulling any punches, and by doing something like that, you're staying within protocol. You're not trying to advertise yourself at the expense of taxpayers. Mm-hmm. That's a big issue that we see other people doing, and you don't. I mean, that's a piece that should be going out like, informationally. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So you add a piece to it. That's fine. It's all. Right. It's not costing the taxpayer anymore.
Exactly.
You know, and that's a tough thing because some of the stuff that's going on, it's like you couldn't do it in your own home. So why should you do it with my money someplace else? Mm. That's the issue with a lot of the things going on.
And that cause is so phenomenally important. Mm-hmm. The breast cancer awareness program.
Well,
it's
I had
so
personal
so
issue with that because my mother passed away from breast cancer when I was a teenager.
Mm. Oh, I had no idea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. Mm. There's so many what you hear of, and it's as you have conversations with people that you realize. And, of course, now treatment is better and quicker, but it depends on the quickness of it. You know, you wait too long and you're a stage 3 or 4, I believe they have these young girls more conditioned to, like, pay attention and do self-exams and stuff like that. You want to believe. Mm-hmm. And you'd be tested for BRCA or not. I mean, I'm not familiar, but the different stuff that goes on. But to lose
and
your
the
mind.
Awareness, the awareness is so important.
Right.
Like you're saying, just that they were more aware of getting these tests
Definitely.
Done.
Right, right. So now this is a tough question before we end. Where do you see the county going?
Oh, well, I think we're going in the right direction.
Okay.
I really think under the leadership of this county executive, Laura Kern, who was a fellow legislator with me, we both got elected at the same time, our offices were down the hall, and her heart is really in the right place. She wants to do well for the community, for the entire county, and whenever I have an issue, I know I could talk to her, but I think even as we talked about before, scrutinizing the budget, I think money is put into the right departments. We're not cutting back too much on social services, on human services. We talked a little bit about the Great Neck Social Center where you work, and I know there's some great programs there for seniors, and I just wanted to mention that we know our county is changing in terms of ethnicities that are here. So I've been very aware of that. Why do people want to gather at social centers, especially seniors? What would get them out of their homes to come to an event like this? And it could be as simple as a meal, eating together with other people so you don't have to eat alone at home.
Right.
Yes,
that's
there's
true.
A Meals on Wheels program, and you could get your meal delivered to you. But if you go to one of these social centers, you could socialize, which is really the best form of medicine, laughing and being with other people. And we have to be cognizant of the kinds of foods that people like to eat.
Right.
So I've actually organized meetings with the dietitian who determines what the meals are to work with different ethnicities that they could offer the kind of food that they would want to gather together to eat.
That's important.
That's a pretty simple change,
yeah,
but
perfect.
It's very respectful of what people like.
We're over. I want to wish you the well. I wish you well on Tuesday. I'm not supposed to, but I do. You know that. We're friends, and I want you back. You're listening to Senior Talk Radio at 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. We'll be right back.